I'm going to start with two readings today. The first comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and then continuing with 25 through 30. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplaces calling out to the others, "We played our flutes for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is provided, is proved to be right by her works." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." May we add blessing and understanding to reading these words. My next reading I would like to share with you comes from Tupac Shakur's book of poems. It's entitled "The Rose That Grew from Concrete," the name of that book. I'm just reading an excerpt from one of the poems. "Celebrate life through the music, through the spoken word, through the splatter of color on paper, on wood, on iron, on canvas. But celebrate your life. Celebrate your ability to feel joy and sadness. Celebrate your ability to feel. Only then will we be free to feel."
Time to be, but
My message this morning is entitled, I Hope You Dance. From the age of 3 to about 7, Maya Angelou was raised by her grandmother. That time was a rare period of calm and stability in what would have become a very traumatic childhood for her. Her grandma ran a general store. And one thing that really bothered her grandmother was people complaining. They complained about the heat and the cold and the myriad of other things that Maya's grandmother thought were just pretty much trivial. Now, according to Maya, whenever it happened, Maya's grandmother would wait till the complainer left the store, call Maya over to her and say, "Sister, did you hear what Brother So-and-so or Sister Much to Do complained about? Sister, there are people who went to sleep all over the world last night, poor and rich, black and white. They'll never wake up again. And those dead folks would give anything, anything at all, for 5 minutes of this weather that person was just grumbling about. So watch yourself about complaining, sister. What you're supposed to do when you don't like the way the thing is change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. Don't complain." It's a lesson that Maya learned well and often repeated. She'd say, when you don't like the way a thing is, change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. She said it all the time. The general attitude of complaining or of not seeing the upside of things, the tendency to be negative and to miss out of the blessing in life is a primary focus of today's scripture reading. See, in it, Jesus is accusing folks of, specifically, he's accusing them of accusing John the Baptist. But he's using the complaining about John as an example of how they tend to conduct their lives. And spoiler alert here, he basically thinks that complaining and being negative is one of the things that makes our lives somewhat miserable and difficult. He says the people have been demonizing John the Baptist, saying he's overeating and being drunk when he's basically doing neither. Basically, they are being negative and looking for reasons to demonize him, even at the expense of what is reality. Sort of sounds like our modern day politicians, doesn't it? It actually also sounds a bit like the kind of things that go on in unhealthy churches at times as well. But like I said, Jesus is using this as an example of how they tend to conduct their lives. In the text, we get the bigger picture of what Jesus sees as the problem. The bigger picture of what he says is getting in the way of them having a better life. He says, quote, "We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We wailed, and you didn't mourn." Basically, Jesus is saying, life has presented you with the opportunity to come together, in the good and in the bad, and you have chosen to do neither. You prefer to create drama and manipulate reality to divide people into factions, judging one another rather than extending grace and dancing together. Now here's the interesting thing. Jesus doesn't actually say it himself. He puts the words into the mouths of children. It actually says, it's like children sitting in the marketplace calling to another and saying those things. Now, it's something you don't always pick up on right at the first read-through, but this is relatively sophisticated storytelling that he's doing here. Verses 16 and 17, Jesus first, he has the children critique the actions of the adult, basically making it clear that if children can get that this is no way to live life, certainly the adults can figure this out. And then he uses the children as an example to the adults, because the children aren't just saying you played flutes and you did not dance. They are also saying it to each other. So Jesus is also using them as an example of the utter ridiculousness of people being negative and accusing each other, basically saying, it's childish. Sometimes it's just a symptom of our humanity, honestly. We get so wrapped up in the difficulties in our lives that we forget about others, or worse yet, we make life difficult on them. And just as bad, because of it, we tend to miss out on the good in life because we've invested so much energy into maintaining these negative accusations and positions that we forget to dance. Mind you, just because it is a symptom of our humanity, it is not an excuse for it. Just because it comes to us somewhat naturally, it does not follow that we should give in to it. If anything, when we think it through and what it does to us, we should want to avoid it. And I think that is what Jesus is trying to get at in the scripture, at least the second part of our scripture that we had today. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. Carrying around accusations, grudges, and divisions is heavy work. It will wear on a soul. It will distract you from the blessings that are waiting for you in this life, because frequently those blessings are found in other people. Even in the people you see yourself standing over and against at times. Jesus says, learn from me, and then instantly speaks of his gentleness and his humbleness. This is a diametric opposite of the people we hear at the beginning of the story of the scripture. The ones who despite the music will not dance, who will not mourn with others. Those who accuse John the Baptist of falseness to hurt him and to create divisions. There's very little that's gentle or humble about that. That way of life, Jesus says, is tough. It wearies souls. Jesus' way, what he taught in his way of loving neighbor, the way that dances when other life sings and weeps when they grieve, that opens our eyes and our ears to the bountiful blessings that have been planted in every single person we meet. It is said that during the Second World War, some soldiers serving in France wanted to bury a fellow soldier and friend who had been killed. And being in a foreign country, They wanted to ensure that their fallen comrade had a proper burial. They found a well-kept cemetery with a low stone wall around it, a picturesque little Catholic church, and a peaceful outlook. This is exactly the kind of place where they wanted to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless the friend had been baptized Catholic, he could not be buried in their cemetery. Well, their friend had not been. Sensing that the soldier's disappointment, sensing the soldier's disappointment, the priest showed them a spot just outside of the walls where they could bury their friend. And reluctantly, they went ahead and did so. And then the next day, they returned to pay their final respects to the fallen friend, but couldn't find the grave. They're like, there's no way that this is wrong. This was right here, they said. So confused, they approached the priest who took them to a spot inside the cemetery walls. He told them, last night, I couldn't sleep. I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls. So I got up and moved the fence. From our scripture reading today, we wailed and you did not mourn. Christianity is about moving fences. It is about inclusion. It is about dancing together and mourning together. It's about community. There's a saying that is frequently attributed to the indigenous peoples of North America that goes something like this. Someone made a circle to keep me out, so I need a bigger circle to include us all. This struggle to fence people out or to bring people in, the struggle to dance when people's lives sing or mourn when they weep, the struggle to which Jesus points to between a life that is difficult or a life that is easy, that struggle occurs within all of us. Many of you have heard the story of the two wolves, purportedly a Cherokee heritage story. Its purpose is to teach a lesson about which internal emotions end up defining our lives. The reality is, the story was made up by none other than the Reverend Billy Graham. It was probably, or at least possibly, had some roots in a story that a Baptist missionary was told by a Mojave Indian convert named Joe, who told the missionary that he had two dogs fighting away inside of him, and the dog which he beats the most will win. Regardless of whether it's of what its true origins are, as we all think of our own internal struggles to fence people out or to bring them in, to dance when people's lives sing or to mourn with them when they weep, to emphasize the positive or to focus on the negative, I believe that it's a story worth retelling. And I'm going to retell it a bit edited in order to remove some of the white equals good and black equals bad imagery, as well as change some of the stereotypical stuff and the ageist stuff that's going on in it. So here again, this story from the first time. A wise and ageless spirit would settle itself and next to a man whose appearance was painted with the metals of a long and sometimes difficult life. Outwardly, he seemed okay, but the spirit knew he wasn't. There is struggle going inside you, the spirit whispered into the winds as he sat next to the man. A struggle between two beasts. One is evil, it is hate, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, fear, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good, it's grace and joy, peace, love, hope, justice, serenity, intelligence, humility, kindness, empathy, mercy, strength, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. It is a struggle that I see in all my people. Man shifted uncomfortably as the message on the winds found home in his heart. With a bit of unease, he quietly murmured to no one, which one wins. The spirit smiled, a smile of satisfaction, and simply said, the one you Which one will you be? May we all choose to be the one that leads us to dance when the music's playing. Mothers and those who serve the roles of mothers, a happy Mother's Day. My prayer meditation today is my version of a more inclusive Mother's Day prayer. Let us bow our heads together. In sacred texts, we are reminded of the abundance of mothering qualities of the divine. From eagle's wings which lift us up to nursing mothers which will not abandon us. Biblically, we are assured of a deep and abiding love. Today, we pause to give thanks for the deep love of mothers. We give thanks for those who have been a mother in less than traditional ways as well. From older siblings in a motherless home to single fathers raising children on their own, we are thankful for the love they each share, for the way they each care, and for the way they nurture the children of the world. At the same time, we pause to remember those who struggle with the role of mother. And for those who want nothing more than to be a mother, but so far have not found the path that is right for them. And on this day, as a nation celebrates mothers, we remember those who cannot bring themselves to celebrate because their mothers were less than motherly. They were judgmental, belittling, violent, abusive, absent. And we think of those who long for an embrace from their mother, just one more time. This day, as we reflect on and give thanks for mothers and mother figures in our lives, may we recognize the reflection of divine love in them, and then may we each live into that reflection, not just with those we choose to call family, with each person we meet. See, this blessing may we walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing we are one, and may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all that you meet.